Alphabet Flight, an encyclopedic Marvel journey where we go through the official handbook of the Marvel Universe. Universe is really what that should have said, whatever. And talk about the characters we know and love and have forgotten as well. My name is Perry, and with me this week is a person who slipped through the cracks of the multiverse on their counter-Earth of our very own and is with us today. It's Tra. You get it? It's your name. It's your name backwards?
Yeah.
It's your name backwards.
It's backwards. Yeah. It's backwards. I understand. Yeah, you did a really good job.
You didn't yes and me. Funny. All you did was just what me.
sometimes I'm in a yes and mood. Sometimes I'm in a no but mood. Sometimes I'm just like, oh,
sometimes
I don't know. It, I
sometimes
a
it's
right
a what mood? And that was what I got from that.
Or it's a okay yeah, right. mood.
Okay. Just shut me down. That's completely okay. Fine. This is what the people pay for. That's what people pay for. Yeah. Hey, thank you all so much for coming back, listening to another episode. I'm sorry for the way that my voice currently sounds, but I have
he was born that way, and
that
you
is,
have to fight his parents. If
that
you're
is true. I'm also this is my audition tape to replace Ira Glass on NPR. So. Nobody's ever made that joke before. Fantastic. But I'll tell you something nobody's done before, and that's talk about the character of Brute on a
also he's not in he's also not in NPR
oh yeah you're right
either
yeah
yeah he's in that yeah, other yeah. public radio
yeah
American public radio
which yeah. one's better which one do you think is better I think it's easy.
I hear about NPR more, but I hear about NPR more for being like having like, you know, they have a lot of rad lib takes that are like a little weird and seems to be covering sure. for the American Empire a lot. But, you know, besides that, they don't.
Well, every take is varying degrees of defending American imperialism, whether you're in conservative or liberal think groups. So.
Yeah,
that's just the nature of it. But anyway, we're talking about the character known as Brute today. Brute with a B, and his name is spelled with a U instead of two O's, and there's an E in there too. Not in that order necessarily,
Brute.
But you can kind of figure it out for yourself. You're smart. You're smart listeners. Do you know anything about Brute art?
Okay. I think Brute was originally supposed to be, I want to say, the fourth serial mascot for, you know, like Booberry, Frankenberry and Count Chocula, a werewolf. Like it got dropped really quick. Fruit Brute was the mascot he was for. Sometimes it comes up when they do throwback boxes and stuff like that, but it's supposed to be kind of like a thing.
Yeah,
like a
I do recall
thing.
Now, alternatively, they were thinking of the name Broody So Fruity, and that just didn't test well with audiences.
Yeah. It was in the era where they thought that Bruce was too gay of a name, so they named Bruce
right,
Banner.
Right, right.
Banner.
And there was also the character of Grapes McGrath. It was a grape flavored cereal that didn't really mix super well with milk. We also had Orangey Glad this cereal doesn't taste like bananas, which it actually did taste like bananas, but it was shaped like an orange. We had the strawberry seven. Oh. Every box of cereal came with seven pieces of strawberry flavored cereal. And that was it. It wasn't like a whole bowl full. It was just seven little like kind of trick size shapes. And it just didn't work out, but that's okay. You know,
I mean, meanwhile, I was saying an actual cereal, Gary over here, barely lost his mind. But no, I know who Brute is. It's basically it's in the Counter Earth base that I'm pretty sure it was the High Evolutionary build. One of the ones that are Counter Earth.
Why am I reading this? You're basically just going Reed through Richards. The whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he's Reed Richards. Like he turns into a monster instead of stretchy. That's he's kind of an asshole, which is
okay. Well, the first appearance of Brute was in the New Mutants number 99, all the way in March of 1991. I was not yet born.
Yeah. I wasn't born yet either.
But you?
Oh, that was a year before.
It was two before mine. But creators Bob Harass. Harris? I bet it's Harris.
Harass.
I think it's probably Harris. All right, fine.
I'm going to say harass because that's how I say it in my podcast when he's editor during there he's editor chief the Thunderbolts came out.
All right, and so
he's
Bob Harass was the editor. Brad Vancata was the colorist. Fabian Nitzia, the writer. Joe Rosen, letterer. Rob Liefeld was the cover, inker, penciler, and also writer. Suzanne Gaffney was an editor, and Tom DeFalco was an editor as well. Now, I normally don't do this, mostly because I didn't realize that this was a feature on comicvine.gamespot.com, but at the very bottom, there is the option for somebody to leave a review for issues, and this particular issue has one-star review. Now, Art, have you read this issue by chance?
Okay. No, well, I haven't. Actually.
Even still, I would find it hard to believe that this is just a one-star issue. Or maybe it is.
It is. I mean, guess it depends on who you're talking to, because this is like quite literally like the right before they go, the New Mutants turns into X-Force.
Gotcha.
And it's also like symbolically, it is the handing over of the reins to the, Rob Liefeld and like Jim Lee would have been doing art, and also other people who I cannot think of right now
Todd
would
McFarlane.
Eventually leave, like Marvel and DC. Todd McFarlane, yeah, who would eventually leave Marvel after leaving their mark, heavy mark, and creating Image. You could definitely see this definitely does look like Rob Liefeld, early Rob Liefeld. You could tell by the
you
very
can tell
tiny
by
feet.
all of the direction kind of pointing towards each character's crotch. There's a lot of yeah, focus on the crotch here. Also, I'm going to keep bringing it up. Got a little golden ratio happening on this cover as well.
And the golden ratio kind of almost ends. Part of the golden ratio either starts or ends on Sunspot's
yes, hit. It does.
So,
it does indeed.
That's awesome.
So kind of getting you up to speed on what this cover is. Really nice typography work on the actual logo, the New Mutants. We see Sunspot title. Yeah,
title art.
It's typography. Still, whatever. Yeah, title.
But no, but it's
title
art.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what you're pointing
toward. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean, shut up?
Shut up.
I went to school for graphic design, Art.
I'm trying to get your hackles up a little bit so you know, you have more energy.
I got energy. Jeez, Lee. Golly gee. All right. So we got Sunspot in a really weird kind of orange turtleneck shirt thing, carrying a duffel bag over his shoulder, while in the background we've got Warhawk. Is that his name?
How dare
Thunderbird,
you?
Sorry,
Thunderbird.
That's what I said.
Which I would like to remind everyone, the Thunderbird does not canonically exist in that tribe's mythology.
Wait, it says
it's a real tribe he's based off of. Warpath. Oh, I'm thinking of his. I'm thinking of Warpath. His older brother's Warpath is the Thunderbird.
So I mean, it's not that I was right, but yeah.
You know, it's whatever.
You were more
I was,
wrong.
You know, I was at
yeah,
least
sure,
I was on the
sure,
family
sure, sure.
line. No, I was about okay. no, All I right. was about the same amount of right.
Well, mine actually had one of the words in his name, thing. So that's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have Warpath. We have Cable and Domino next to him. I'm assuming that's Cannonball. standing next to Domino, and then is that Copycat?
Tabby. It's Tabby, probably. Wait, there's Boom Boom? Yeah, it's Boom Boom.
Gotcha. All in all, I think a pretty solid cover. It says also, when Sunspot leaves, can the end be far behind? The answer was the penultimate issue.
Because the next...
which it literally says on the cover.
someone came up with a pretty good rule that if a title or a headline is a question, the answer that is, majority of the time is no.
Yeah.
And you could do that.
It's a 50-50 split. You do that pretty confidently. But, yeah. What do you think of this cover, though, Art?
Okay. Composition-wise, it's fine. It's just like, I'm not doing this in a way that Har Har Rob Liefeld sucks type thing. I'm not doing it in that way. This just looks like early in his style, which it would be canonically, because it's like, he was young.
Yeah.
When he first started working for Marvel. And it just seems like it's a combination of like 80s house style plus his. And I don't like it. It's just like, it looks like Sunspot's crotch is like gasping for air. it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite, I'd say. It looks very transitional to me, and that's only because I kind of know. That's just because I know like generally what the art style generally looked like in the 80s and what it generally looks like in the 90s. And I'm not saying like Rob Liefeld 90s. I'm saying more like just like the general house style for 90s comics, which wasn't bad necessarily, but you know, just feels like a melding of those. And it's,
so this was also a an homage to X-Men number 138 titled Exit Cyclops as well. I don't know if you have that pulled up or not, but I will put it in our chat.
Let's see if it does a good job homage.
I think it
I'm not doing this in a like Rob Liefeld is bad, but god damn, is this a better comic?
So much better. It is so much better. It's so much more dynamic. It just flows better. It gives you a better sense of like longevity and, you know, the true weight of this character departing the team. Man, what a kind of a wet fart of a tribute, I would say.
Yeah.
Just put him on a white background. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I don't know. I feel like it would be too hard to do the same thing they did with the cover that they are homaging and just put like covers, like, you know, important covers for Sunspot.
But the nice thing, though, is that peek behind the curtain. The way that they created the background for the X-Men 138 cover is they essentially just took one color channel from the print. So there's four channels, C, M, Y, K, C for cyan, M for magenta, Y for yellow, and K for black. And they just removed cyan, yellow, and black, and you only had the magenta that was on the printing press for all that. So all of those covers, I mean, it's not like, who did the cover for this? It was, I guess John Byrne. He wasn't painstakingly going back and like recreating all of these, you know, dozen or so covers that are on in the background. That's a print trick. So they, you know, there's ways that this could have been achieved as well with the Rob Liefeld homage cover. So
because I don't think they were doing like all digital.
No, there's no
art
way. There's no way.
Until like they weren't doing all digital art, I don't think, until 92, I wanna say. Or 93, I wanna say. Like it was like I think I'm talking to my ass there.
It was probably closer to like mid 2000s.
It was 2000 something. I think it was 2002, I wanna say.
That sounds about right.
Well, let me see. Because there is a delineation. There is a clear line where it starts happening. It's not like just a general, because they were kind of using digital art.
Sure.
You know, in the 90s and stuff. But there's a line where, like, Marvel and DC started using, like, digital coloring and coloring or inking, I should say. Digital inking and lettering.
Looks like every cover of the New Mutants was an homage to something else.
Might have been. I mean, honestly, there's enough X-Men stuff for them to do that. Yeah, but there's
even, like, a Spider-Man cover that they homage. New Mutants number 86. At least a Spider-Man panel that they pulled that from. I don't know. We're going off on tangents here. But
yeah, it's almost like there's not much about.
Yeah, there's much less to talk about Brute here than there is the actual cover design that we've spent so much time on. But anyway, let's talk about Brute. Brute was or is, I think. I don't know. We'll get there. Real name, Reed Richards.
What?
Aliases, impersonated. Oh, by the way, if you want to play along with us while we read through this, we do have our bingo card available in the description below. As we go through, you can knock some of these off right off the bat. If you have, you know, the Fantastic Four, that's a pretty easy one for you. No known relatives or no known family, if that's on there for you. From another Earth or reality. I mean, I'm just like kind of spitballing here on ones that I might or might not have. But it's super easy to play along. Just make sure with each new episode, you go down to the bottom right hand corner with the hamburger menu, hit new instead of refreshing the page, and then you will have a new bingo card that you can play along with. So anyway, secret identity as well. Occupation, former scientist and astronaut. Citizenship, USA on Counter-Earth. Place of birth, Central City, California, encounter Earth. Known relatives, no wife or son, presumably otherwise the same as Earth's Reed Richards. Group affiliation, Frightful Four. Education, scientific PhD from Counter Earth University of California at Berkeley. And first appearance, of course, as Reed Richards. Wait a minute. Have I failed you, dear listener? There's no way.
What?
I gave the wrong Brute.
Oh.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, you did. Didn't you? Yeah, you did. It looks like Perry did a oopsie whoopsie.
Yeah, I gave you the wrong Brute. Very sorry about that. The actual first appearance of Brute, and this was as Reed Richards, was in Marvel Premiere number 2 from May 1972, which was inked by Dan Adkins. Gil Kane was the artist for the cover and the penciler. Herb Cooper was the letterer. Jack Kirby was the artist and writer. Roy Thomas was the writer. And Stan Lee was an editor. It's an Adam Warlock cover. It's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah. You have, which one is that one?
Just says Adam Warlock.
No. What's that furry? Furry dude, right on that flying dude. What's that one?
I don't recognize it.
Nope, definitely not Yellow Claw, because that's a just racist characterization then of an Asian
person. Oh, it's Rodan.
But that's the name of a flying thing. That should be the name of.
Rodan was evolved from a rat into humanoid Rodan form. He was an assassin and master of his Hounds of Helios.
Well, Rodan's also the name of like one of my favorite like Toho kaiju monsters. And it's the pterodactyl. Well,
anyway. Better cover art than the one that we talked about before.
Oh, yeah, way better cover art. Yeah, way better. But, you know, I also like the... I feel like they could have filled out the rest of the... Feels like they just put a panel on the cover.
You're right.
Which, I mean, it's a bad. It's good art. It's just like, I feel like you could have maybe filled out some of the negative space behind the cover. Absolutely.
You could just carry that, like, blue sky or blue ocean or whatever the heck all the way to the, the edge a little bit further. But,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's just me nitpicking because I feel like I need to nitpick a little bit, you know. This is a short shorts era Warlock. It's before he even went by Adam.
Yeah, you're right. He is just Warlock, isn't he?
Yeah.
What do you know? Well, also the second appearance of this Reed Richards, or I guess really the first appearance of Brute, was in Warlock number 6 in 1973 as well. So,
which is like a year from now, basically, from this.
Anyway. So, using a rock taken from Earth, the High Evolutionary created Counter-Earth and placed it unseen on the far side of the sun. However, the man-beast brought evil to Counter-Earth while the Evolutionary, his creator, slept. The world evolved similarly to Earth, with counterparts to individual Earth people, except that the evil man-beast shaped it to be devoid of native superheroes, forcing Adam Warlock to be its defender. On this Earth, Reed Richards attended Cal Berkeley and roomed with Victor Von Doom. When a lab accident mangled Victor's face, Reed's understanding and support prevented Victor's descent into evil. When Reed took an untested rocket into space with Ben Grimm and Sue and Johnny Storm, the man-beast prevented the cosmic rays from empowering them. After the ship crashed, Reed was hailed as the first astronaut, but Sue was left comatose. Years later, the man-beast triggered the latent cosmic rays, transforming Reed into the Brute. The man-beast inhabiting the body of President Rex Carpenter then hypnotized the Brute to attack Adam Warlock on the Golden Gate Bridge. Reverted back to normal by Warlock's soul gem, Reed was hypnotized again by the man-beast, this time with all latent power unleashed. Craving energy, the Brute stole Victor's experimental Earth Corer 1, using it to reach Counter-Earth's core, where he absorbed geothermal energy and threatened to turn the planet into a snowball. However, Dr. Doom returned Reed to normal by sucking the cosmic radiation from him, giving his life in the process.
I wonder how he did that. Did he do it with a British straw?
Oh, I thought you meant like where from.
Like a crazy straw. I mean, it could go a lot of different ways. I mean, I could go think of three different ways. I like to think of it that he just like stuck like a crazy straw, like a sharpened crazy straw into the neck and just like... Like, it was one of those, like, custom ones that spells out Reed whenever you do. Yeah, that's how he did it.
Perfect.
Yeah, he just popped his juggler open like a crazy son.
When Galactus, the High Evolutionary, and the Fantastic Four fought over Counter-Earth, Reed worked with the military and piloted a rocket toward the Evolutionary's asteroid headquarters and was again subjected to cosmic rays, restoring his Brute powers, which he could now assume at will. Struck on the head, while exploring a spaceship within the asteroid, he inadvertently stowed away as the Fantastic Four flew back to Earth. The head blow turned him evil. The Brute answered the criminal Frightful Four's ad for a fourth member, helped capture the FF, and won the job. When the Fantastic Four later defeated his teammates, the Brute thrust the then-powerless Mr. Fantastic into the negative zone, changed to Reed, and took his place with the group. Intending to surprise and kill the other Fantastic Four members immediately, the evil Reed hesitated because of Sue's similarity to his comatose love. But he eventually... That is a really just kind of loaded phrase, comatose love. That gets kind of glossed.
I mean, that sounds like a possible title to like a real gloomy goth song.
Yeah, it's like goth rock song. Panic at the Disco song.
No. I'm thinking specifically Ghost.
Okay.
Yeah. Like no, there's no hop, there's Fair no enough. Hop and pep to it.
But he eventually tricked the Thing and Human Torch into the negative zone as well. However, Sue, suspecting all along, realized the switch when this Reed showed no concern for her son Franklin, forcing the Brute to reveal himself. From the negative zone, the Mad Thinker's mutated creation, the monster android, invaded the Baxter Building. Powered by Annihilus's cosmic control rod, the android erased the Brute's evil self, and Mr. Fantastic had promised to bring back the rod, but the contrite Brute Reed seized the rod and entered the negative zone, sacrificing himself in Reed's place.
Okay.
Glosses okay. Wait, over complicated.
No. Glosses over a couple sentences that definitely sound like it's from like a like Reed Richards / Annihilus fanfic right there. He grasps his cosmic control rod. And it erased all the bad in his heart.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
exactly. Like that's just like they're just doing something mind blowing there. You know,
break break my back, brute. Anyway, sucked into the negative zone's distortion era, area. Excuse me, I was distracted. Distortion, what was commonly known in the 70s after Jimi Hendrix was anyway, he was saved by the Tiannans, an ancient race who lived within. His evil side resurfacing, the brute subverted the Tiannans to his will and created an army, but the Fantastic Four defeated him. The Tiannans set off on an explosion of natural energy to seal themselves off from the rest of the negative zone, while the brute made his way to Earth 1123, an alternate world where Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four, Sue Storm married the Submariner, and a depressed Reed Richards became President of the United States. Apparently killing the Human Torch, Mr. Fantastic, Spider-Man, and the Thing, the brute assumed Reed's identity as president. He was discovered when the Spider-Girl of Earth 1122, the daughter of the Spider-Man clone Ben Reilly, and the Wolverine of Earth 811, Days of Future Past, came to him about thwarting the celestial egg they believed dwelled within that Earth. Later, the cosmic being Abraxas killed many Reed Richards, including the Brute, in various dimensional realities, but Galactus and the Ultimate Nullifier restored the multiverse to normal, presumably reviving all the Reeds in the process.
If you want to know about Abraxas, I have a whole episode about
him. How about that? Height 6'1" as the Brute, 8 feet tall. Weight 180 pounds as the Brute, 900. Eyes brown as the Brute, red. And hair brown with gray at temples, but as the Brute, none. Abilities and accessories as the Brute, Richards has Hulk level super strength and durability, and he absorbed and projected various forms of energy. He retained his genius intellect in both forms. Okay.
Okay. Real quick. Never mind. We do bingo stuff at
That's
the
end. That's true. Okay. But, trivia?
Yeah. Sure. I'm going to say a lot of that went in one ear out the other because I was trying to think, should I include X person as a adventure or not? Oh. But yeah, let's do trivia. Let's see if I remembered anything.
Hey, did you remember anything I just told you about?
Where did this Reed Richards and his roommate, Victor Von Doom, go to college?
Oh, it was it Central University or something like that?
It was in California, but it was Cal Berkeley.
Cal Berkeley. Oh, that's where he taught. That's where Earth 616.
You know what we should do? If we get the trivia question right, we get to hit a bingo spot of our choice.
Probably, maybe. But Cal Berkeley, yeah. I got the state right. Because I think some people would default to New York, even though him and Sue grew up in California before they moved to New York.
How'd you do on your bingo card?
Okay. Depending on if you would allow it, I can get a bingo. Do I? No, I can't. No, I can't. Never mind.
Okay.
Never mind. Okay. I accidentally clicked a spot. That's exactly. Unless you thought he lost faith in himself at some point during this.
Yeah,
he seemed pretty confident
the entire
way. So.
Yeah, everything he did seemed very sure of itself.
I got four. Would you count an astronaut as an adventure?
I would say yes as well. I would say yes as well.
Okay. Never went to jail. I don't think he has a criminal record.
Wasn't put on trial. I would say he doesn't really have common/broad superpowers either. Oh, maybe, actually.
I don't know. Energy absorption, energy blast, Hulk-like, strong?
Yeah,
I'd say yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd say
Even
yeah.
Still, I mean, that doesn't bring me up to a bingo. I would argue for a vague alternate future as well. Because we don't really know what happens to him after he gets brought back.
Well, what I mean by that vague alternate future is just when they go a future.
Then definitely not. Okay.
Yeah. So I would count like Cable's upbringing as vague alternate future, or basically. But
yeah. So I didn't get a bingo. I had the free space. I had is
I
not a superhero / villain. I think he's pretty neutral. Not neutral necessarily, but he's a little bit more vague than one way or another. From another Earth or reality, would be conqueror. Powers via science experiment. Common/broad superpowers. Cosmic based. Dr. Doom and no known family.
So do you think the Thing would count as an Avenger because he was on a version of the Avengers team?
I would say yes. He is specifically mentioned, and he is a confirmed Avenger.
Okay. So I have Spider-Man, Avenger, Occupation Adventurer, Guardians of the Galaxy, because that's like one of the...
Oh, well, then I have Guardians as well.
Yeah. Because that's like the main team he interacts with. Then gods related.
Oh, Galactus. Yeah, good point.
And powers via science experiment. And I don't know if I heard a government team in there or not. Did you say SHIELD at one point?
I don't think I did. No, I didn't.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, so unless he lost faith of himself, which it sounds like he's never has, I do not have. Sounds like, in fact, I think he has too much faith in himself, and he should calm down a little bit.
he's the exact opposite of that. But that's the Brute. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. Yes. If you want to follow up, you can head to social media now exclusively on Instagram and Threads. Correct?
It's also
Tumblr as well. Tumblr? I was just mostly saying not on X anymore.
Yeah, it's not on X, formerly known as Twitter, also formerly known as they are stealing your data. Well, sorry, they're already stealing your data, but now they're also using it to trade AI.
So at Alphabet Flight is where you can find that. You can head to alphabetflight.tumblr.com, support the show at patreon.com/alphabetflight, leave a 5-star rating and review in your podcast app of choice. It's a great way to get the show up in the recommended thing. It gets more people seeing the show, so please do that. And let's see what else. You can follow me if you want at PRaider 14 or 1792 actually, or what's my other one, at My Bourbon Pod. And that's about it. Thank you all so much for listening. See you next time.
Yeah.
Till then, may Conchie guide and protect you through all your nightly travels. Doodles.
Fruit brew. Oh.